We've told you for years that the radical activists are going to overplay their hand. It's happening in front of our eyes.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We've all heard about the frog in boiling water, that you put a frog in water and little by little by little by little turn up the heat. By the time he realizes how hot it is, it's boiling and it's too late. Now, whether there's truth to that picture or not is not the issue. The issue is we use that illustration all the time to talk about societal change, to talk about moral compromise, to talk about spiritual backsliding, to explain how it can happen little by little by little by little, and then suddenly when you recognize what's happening, it's too late. It's the situation in which we find ourselves today in America, and not just America, in terms of social and moral chaos and anarchy and collapse, in terms of biblical morality, in terms of common sense sexuality. On the other hand, things are getting more and more extreme to the point that people are finally waking up. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to the broadcast. It is Wednesday on the Line of Fire, and a day when sometimes we focus in on worldview, what's happening in the world around us. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. Normally when I'm in the car, I will be listening to scripture, unless I have to make a phone call or something like that. Normally listening to the Bible. Today, finished listening to a chapter. Thought I've got a minute or two before I get to the store. I'll just shut it now. Ended up flipping on the radio for a minute. It was Rush Limbaugh. And he was talking about a law that is being discussed in South Dakota that would make it illegal for a man who identifies as a woman to, or a boy who identifies as a girl, to compete in sports against females. And he had his own take on that, of course, agrees with our position, the insanity of it, but his own take on it, kind of radical feminism. Hey, we're just as good as men. We can do everything as good as men, et cetera, et cetera. So now you've got men competing against the women. They can't say anything. But of course, there's going to be pushback. Well, things are more extreme than you probably know. I have a medical doctor online is about to join me in a moment. My latest article you can read on our website is called The Self-Destruction of LGBT Activism. And I start by saying this. Sometimes in a debate or a court of law, the best way to let your opponent lose is simply to let him or her continue to speak. Soon enough, they sink their own ship. It's the same with LGBT activism. The more victory it gains, the more it exposes and destroys itself. A man who is on the front line of fighting for liberty and freedom and the right to self-determination in California, Dr. Andre Van Mol, is a courageous voice. He is involved with a case now, friend of the court, with the Alliance Defending Freedom, an article on collegefix.com, gender-affirming treatment for confused children has no scientific basis, medical experts warn court, quoting Dr. Van Mol. So, Andre, we've interacted via email, but I think this is the first time we've spoken over the phone. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for having me on.
Please just tell us your medical background first.
Well, I'm a board-certified family physician. I was a Navy officer for a time also as a physician. I am the co-chair of the Committee on Adolescent Sexuality for the American College of Pediatricians. I do one of seven bloggers nationally for the Christian Medical and Dental Association, but I spend my days being a family physician.
Got it. And what is it that drew you in to such a volatile cultural battle? I mean, isn't it enough just to care for your patients, care for your family, go to church? Why not just leave it there?
Yeah, well, for one, that's not the way it was brought up, you know, the whole idea of co-laboring with Christ and doing the right thing, at least you're part of it, was ingrained into me from when I was little. And my interest was in you know, more general bioethics as a whole, culture of life and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And on the whole GLBT segment of it, I actually thought, well, transgenderism, gender dysphoria, should be so obvious to people. Surely this is something I won't need to get involved in. And decided about 2.5 years ago I was wrong. So that's where my involvement began. And it went into overdrive last year when California introduced AB 2119, which for simplicity I'll just call the Transgender Foster Child Bill. And I was part of a very small team that fought valiantly against that. We ended up losing, but it fed heavily into the national and international level efforts that are across, as you know, all political boundaries, all religious boundaries. It's really an all-hands type awakening, as you were saying, of people that are very distressed with what we see happening, particularly to children.
So there were two major bills in California. One, you say that your efforts to stop it from passing lost. The other is at least been stopped temporarily. So first, explain
that
the
was
bill.
Yeah.
Explain AB 2199 first. What did that bill entail?
Well, there are actually three. 1799, which was withdrawn before it went to committee. 2934, which by now everybody knows about, trying to ban everything that's even remotely designed to help people willingly alter their sexual orientation or gender identity. 2119 was a transgender foster care bill, meaning any foster child in California, in its original writing, any foster child in California that demonstrates any degree of gender identity confusion must be affirmed. It's beholden on the foster parents, on the social services, right on through the line that they must affirm. Now, we did succeed in getting major alterations done that they took away the "you must" and made it sort of a, you know, general administrative guideline, but obviously they weren't going to stop with that. So we achieved something, but we did not succeed in getting the bill either withdrawn or voted down.
All right, so let me play the transgender advocate role here and say, Dr. Van Mol, surely you know that many of these kids who are deeply troubled only find wholeness and peace when they are affirmed as the opposite of their biological sex, because really their brains are different and they really are like a boy in a girl's body. And so many of them want to commit suicide. So many of them struggle so mightily. And then when they transition for the first time, they have peace. And there are many people living happy lives that have transitioned. So why are you opposing science? And why are you willing to hurt these children?
Because almost nothing that was said there is true. It is the party line, but it's not true. Mm. Gender dysphoria, you know, the idea that a person is very uncomfortable in their biological sex is, you know, as soon as you say it's identity, you know, gender identity, you're saying it's a psychological process. It's not physical. We know from the medical literature that the desistance rate, the rate with which gender dysphoria goes away by adulthood, is 61 to 98%. American Psychiatric Association's DSM-5, if you look at it, the desistance rates there, you have to flip them, of course, because they present them in terms of persistence. The desistance rate is as high as 88% in girls, and, 70% in girls, and 98% in guys. Well, that's overwhelming, which is to say this condition, if you do about nothing, is overwhelmingly likely to go away on its own, but not if you medicalize it. And to medicalize it means you're a patient for life. And any step that's taken, be it the puberty blocking, and then following that with cross-sex hormones, if both are done, it's pretty for sure that child's sterile, because puberty blocking starts before the sperm and the egg mature. And we know that only 5% of the youths make any attempt to preserve their fertility by putting away eggs and sperm, and obviously you can't if they're not developed yet. And, you know, that's bad news. Then if you add to that gender affirmation surgery, as they call sex change surgery now, now that's it. Their whole life will be spent further being medicalized, and then the complications that come from that leading to further medicalization. Contrary to the statement that affirmation leads to reduced suicide, we know from the study out of Sweden that followed 30 years of all their transitioners that for those who did the whole thing, right up to and through the surgery, their completed suicide rate became 19 times that of the general population. So affirmation doesn't make it better. It's demonstrated it makes it much worse. We also know that through comprehensive psychological therapy for the patient and often for the families, because there's often family dynamics that are at play here, that those are shown to be a preferred therapy. It helps the greater number of patients, and it does by far the least harm. There's nothing to take back. And the other thing I'd add to that is we know that children don't have fully developed brains. I mean, that prefrontal cortex isn't, you know, completed and fully ready to go until you're 25. Kids can't project out to long-term consequences. We protect them in California. Kids can't even use tanning beds. But we're going to say that they can engage in a lifetime of toxic hormones and reassignment surgery that's a form of medical butchery. They can't weigh the full consequences of that when they're 9, 10, and 11. So I would argue that what we're calling this whole gender affirmative therapy actually boils down to a form of child abuse. You know, one day there's going to be a massive class action suit, and the people on the other side are going to deserve it.
Yeah, Dr. Paul McHugh of Johns Hopkins fame, for many years one of the most respected leaders in psychology in America, and then became the enemy of the activists because he exposed everything you're saying. Some years back, I was going to be on Tyra Banks, and it was the first time that they were going to be parading on TV these little children, 7, 8 years old, that were, quote, transgender. And I shot him a note, and I said, hey, have you stayed up on research on this? How do you feel? He said, views just the same. And then he said, any type of medical intervention with a child is a form of child abuse, meaning you're going to put a kid on hormone blockers or something like that. He called it child abuse, just as you did. Dr. Van Mold, do you have a couple more minutes just to stay with us?
I do.
All right, stay right there. I want to ask about, is there a danger putting kids on hormone blockers? And then what about a mom affirming like a 9-year-old son as being a drag queen? Does the kid have the capability to process all that? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Once again, we are sounding the wake-up call because we love people, because we love our freedoms, because we love wholeness, because we believe God's ways are best. When a society doesn't just drift from them, but actively fights against them and then fights against those who are trying to hold to sanity, we must speak up and sound the alarm. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm speaking with Dr. Andre Van Mol. Andre, just was reading an article from last year attacking you as a loony from a website that often attacks me as a nutcase. So we're in good shape there. You're a nutty physician in the lovely city of Redding, California. At least they got the fact correct that you're a physician in the lovely city of Redding. That's positive. But
it's good to have the right adversaries. Yeah.
So, Andre, you've recently been involved now in raising concern about this whole issue of treatments that kids undergo, hormones, puberty blockers, etc. How much do we know about, or are we experimenting on our kids? How much of this is known, proven science, or are we not just experimenting, but literally doing wrong to our kids?
Well, I'm quite confident we're doing wrong to our kids. What we presented to the legislature in California is the National Institutes of Health has engaged in a $5.7 million study that is the first of its kind to look at the medical effects of puberty blockers in children, only the second to look at the psychological effect. Without quoting any other study, that tells you right there is no body of knowledge to draw on to say this is safe, let alone effective.
But hang on, I got to jump in. We know that for a drug to get passed by the FDA, that it could be hundreds of millions of dollars of testing and research, and the companies have to have unbelievable money to get something through. And then if you see an ad on TV, you're struggling with smoking cigarettes, take this. By the way, side effects could include dizziness, nausea, suicidal thoughts, depression. You know, it's got to do all that. And yet everyone's just saying, no. Kids, 10 years old, boy thinks he's in a girl's body. By all means, get that kid on hormone blockers. And so you're saying we haven't done massive research and testing and vetting over a period of many years before doing this?
Quite specifically to your question, puberty blockers are not FDA approved for this use. So it's being used off-label in the first place. And in terms of for example, you're going to put someone on who's a biologic male, put them on high-dose estrogen, or a biologic female, put them on high-dose testosterone, you get all the potential complications of those hormones in high doses. And, understand what we're talking about here. The range of what's considered normal of those testosterone or estrogen levels in a gender dysphoric person who's transitioning is up to 10 times the level that their biological sex's body would ever see. Of course you're asking for complications. Blood clots, heart problems, even malignancy. You puberty block a prepubescent child, you're eliminating the part of their growth which is where the greatest bone strengthening happens. So you are begging to have osteoporosis at a ridiculously young age, and it goes on and on and on. This is not safe. It's not proven effective, and I don't think we should be doing it in the first place.
So you wrote an article, came out about a year ago, published it on Public Discourse, probably elsewhere, that transgenderism is a state-sponsored religion. What did you mean by that?
I mean, this is ideology. This is, the medical case supporting this is paper thin. The scientific case, worse. So eventually you come, how is this being put forward? And it's ideology. And it's an ideology that biology doesn't matter. So as you know, many other people higher ranking than I with stronger academic credentials in the U.S. and in the U.K. look at it and say, well, this is a modern form of Gnosticism in its various forms. The idea that you can make physical reality conform to your will. I guess believers would look at it and say, that sounds a bit like the philosophy of sorcery too, doesn't it? But again, when this is being imposed on kids, this is just wrong in so many ways.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at an article on the same website that often attacks me that attacked you a year ago for your very article asking, is transgenderism a state-sponsored religion? Good for you to know. Another amicus brief, another anti-science crackpot position. So it's wild that when you come with facts, when you come with science, when you come with love, when you come with concern, the response is, you must be a nutcase. So obviously we're hitting a nerve here. And this must be exposed. What we've seen even more recently, though, is what I've said for almost 15 years now. Those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. Meaning it's not a matter of tolerance, diversity. It's a matter of my way or the highway. It's a matter of not just accept. No, not just affirm, but you must celebrate everything having to do with LGBT activism or you will be opposed. So right now, the city of Denver has now banned all counseling for minors who are struggling with same-sex attraction or gender confusion. So you got a 17-year-old boy. Maybe he was molested by an uncle when he was a younger boy. He's confused about his sexuality. He's attracted to males, but he doesn't want to be. He wants professional counseling. His parents affirm it. Illegal. Illegal.
Yeah, exactly what he needs is illegal.
Right. And if it's same thing, a boy feeling he's trapped in a girl's body, girl trapped in a boy's, that's what their perception is. They want, I'd rather be at home in my own skin. Illegal.
Yes.
To get professional counseling. Yeah. But California and New York, looks like state of New York's about to pass this. California went one step further. California tried to ban this for everyone, not just minors. Anyone who said, I'm troubled by same-sex attraction or gender identity confusion. That's why I dubbed it the must-stay gay bill.
And this
almost passed. I mean, it's outrageous to even think this is possible. But you live in California. You're on the front lines of this battle. Talk to our listeners. Give them a heart and an understanding of what's happening.
Well, we understand now that, as we had predicted, there was no question, Assemblyman Lowe is going to introduce the successor to 2943 that he pulled. And it looks like this time, as you might have predicted, there won't be any exceptions. You won't be able to get out of it under a religion clause or anything else. They'll throw at us something along the line of, you shouldn't be protected to engage in fraud and bigotry just because you're religious, something like that. We should take encouragement in the Supreme Court's NIFLA case from last summer, I'm changing the subject here to abortion, but how California was mandating that pro-life centers must have posted in big block print all over the place the phone numbers where people can know that you can get a free abortion. So basically mandating speech on the part of pro-life groups that you must be soliciting for abortion, but of course they weren't doing it the other way around in the abortion clinics. And the Supreme Court ruled, rightly, that that's an obvious violation of the First Amendment. So we have reason to believe that what California is trying to do, and perhaps what has been done by 14 other states in the case of banning therapy for minors, can be overturned. But obviously, it's superior to prevent these things from happening than it is to hope for the Supreme Court to be our savior. You know, less damage is done.
Right. And the other thing is, it may take several people getting arrested, going to court, having years and years of their life taken away, and then they finally win, and then there's a good ruling that's passed. But obviously, it's a whole lot better to avoid the car crash than to have the car crash and then have a successful recovery from the car crash and to drive more carefully the next time. It's an all-out assault on our liberties. And recently, I and others drew attention to this whole, now the phenomenon, not just of drag queens reading to toddlers in libraries, and the ACLU is fighting for the drag queens against the quote extremists who are trying to fight against this, the parents who care about their kids. Not only that, now this celebrated drag queen kid, 10, 11 years, is celebrated, called amazing. So this kid, 11 years old, with his mom present, performs in a gay bar, people throwing money at him. And when others took exception to it, she said, what are you talking about? That's just blatant homophobia. And he's a professional, 11 years old. Now, I think it was in Canada, 10-year-old boy, another drag queen, does a photo shoot. And there it is, posing with a naked man, drag queen. This is absolute child abuse. This, I don't care if it's heterosexual, homo, it doesn't matter. And I'm not hearing an outcry from the gay and lesbian community around the world. Why? Because LGBT, it's got to be good. It's just the homophobes and transphobes who oppose it. We've got 1 minute before the break, sir. As a family physician, share your heart, speak your heart to my listening and viewing audience.
You know, our legislators and our school officials in the public schools have to hear from the parents. I encourage you to engage what I call the four C's. Communicate your convictions with compassion, courage, and civility. But do it. And it doesn't have to be an article. You can write in a paragraph. You can call them on the telephone. But every one of you, your legislators and your school officials, must be hearing from you frequently regarding these subjects that you are watching, you are concerned, and you think what's happening to the kids here is a form of abuse. They respond to public pressure.
And is there a website that you would specially recommend or a resource?
You do pretty well to look up the American College of Pediatricians. They have plenty. If you want to look at the stuff I've written, the Christian Medical and Dental Society, their website's easy, cmda.org, and just type my name into the search bar. So we've got the American College of Pediatricians, CMDA, and Public Discourse.
All right, Andre, keep up the good work. Dr. Andre Von Moll, VanMol. We're in this together, and light will triumph over darkness in the end. God bless you. Thanks, man.
Thank you much, Mike.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I get it. I understand. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to throw in the towel. It's easy to look at what's happening in the society around us and to think it's over, at least for America. It's over. Everything's going downhill. It's almost like looking at someone, maybe they're 90 years old, they have a debilitating condition, and they just fell and broke their hip, and you think that they're not going to recover. It's just going to be downhill from there. Is that the case with America? This is Michael Brown, and you have tuned into The Line of Fire, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. We have just produced Consider This video number 6. This is about the most popular thing we have ever done, some of the most impacting work we have ever done. Short videos, about 5 minutes each, with a clear, compelling message, animated graphically to keep your attention. Just showed one of the videos last Friday morning, was meeting with our oldest granddaughter's Bible class at her Christian school and talking about, can we trust the Bible? So we started it by showing my five-minute video from Consider This series, Can We Trust the Bible? They're all on our website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org. You'll just see the banner for Consider This. But we've got our newest video, and I just want to play an excerpt for you because it asks the question, and it answers the question, is it too late for America? Here we go. Has America passed the point of no return? Have we fallen too far to recover? It's true that we've had spiritual revivals and great awakenings in the past, but have we ever sunk this low? We're talking about more than 60 million abortions since 1973, about a radical redefinition of marriage and an all-out assault on gender distinctions, about a widespread scorning of the Bible and biblical values, about an epidemic of pornography, about massive spiritual and moral decline to the point that middle school children are sexting each other, meaning sending each other naked pictures. And we're talking about tremendous division on every front, political and social and ethnic. How do we recover from this? Could it be too late for America? All right, so that's where we lay out the concerns. If you're watching on our Facebook or YouTube feed, you see the graphics that underscore what we're talking about. But is it too late? To get the full answer, to get my reasons and understanding from history as to whether it's too late for America or not, go ahead, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, or our YouTube channel, AskDrBrown. You'll find it right there on the homepage. Is it too late for America? Also, if you enjoy these videos, if you're blessed by these videos, consider helping us, consider supporting us. We do these with the help of our supporters and our friends. It's a big project. I just heard from someone in one of the best-known pro-family ministries in America, and he was saying, wow, that's well, how do you do it? How long does it take? It's a lot of work from our team to do these, but we trust they're making an impact. If you're blessed by them, why not become a torchbearer? Why not become a monthly supporter? As a monthly supporter, you'll get access to content that no one else has. As a monthly supporter, we send you a new audio message every month. As a monthly supporter, when you order in our online bookstore, you get a 15% discount. We have some online classes you can take for free as well. That's all for our torchbearers, those who help us with $1 a day or more per month. That's it. $30 or more per month. I know for some that's a challenge. You got every dime squeezed out. But I believe as you do it, God will bless you. And those that can do that or double or triple that, join us. Join our support team. It also helps us do what we're doing right now. Talk to you on live radio and on live stream. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me talk to you for a moment about my latest article, The Self-Destruction of LGBT Activism. Again, one of my activist friends who has really gone through hardship for taking a stand, for speaking the truth, for exposing wrong things. He's been maligned. He's been blacklisted. He's lost money. His family's come under pressure. I was at a meeting with him that was hosted in a church building, and the building got vandalized. Someone threw a brick at one of the windows. That's his life. And when I asked him, why don't you just stop? That was a rhetorical question because I wasn't asking him to stop. But it's an obvious question. If it's cost you this much, you've gone through this much, why not just stop? And he said, I'll stop when they stop. I'll stop when they stop. So I want you to consider this, all right? Yeah, consider this. Why not? Consider this. The goal for LGBT activism is not tolerance. It's not diversity. It's dominance and exclusivity. Can I say it again? The goal is not tolerance. The goal is dominance. There is no tolerance of my viewpoint or your viewpoint when we hold to what the Bible says. There is no tolerance of our viewpoint when we hold to common sense nature. There is no tolerance for our viewpoint when we have scientific data that differs with the claims of the activists. No tolerance for it whatsoever. That's why there's an active push to stop those who want to differ on any level. No, thou shalt not differ with LGBT activism unless you want to suffer the consequences. So I give some examples and say, look, as you just let this play out, talk about the agenda. I'm not talking about being a nice neighbor. If I had a lesbian couple that was next door neighbors, I'd go out of my way to treat them graciously, because if they knew who I was, they'd probably think I was their enemy. I'd go out of my way to be a blessing in their lives. I'd go out of my way to see if there's anything I could ever do to help them in any way. Why? Because they're my neighbors, and we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves, and especially because people like us who hold to biblical views can be considered bigoted or hateful, etc. So I have to overcome that. If you were a coworker of mine and I found out you were gay or lesbian, I'd take an even greater interest in your life. Why? Because I do care. I do love. You probably suffered a lot of rejection over the years. You probably have a negative view of people like me. You may have a skewed view of God. I'd love to reach you with the love of God and the truth of God. And I'm also convinced there's a better way. But I'd just be a friend anyway. And if anybody tried to attack you, God forbid, they'd have to get through me to get to you. At the same time, to the core of my being, I reject the idea that two men or two women can, quote, marry, and that it should be legitimized and recognized by the society, and that it's right in God's sight. To the core of my being, I reject that. Now, look, I was having a short flight, actually. So maybe, you know, hour and a half flight, something like that. And I was sitting next to a gentleman, and pretty quickly it was clear to me that he was homosexual. And he was also a high school principal. So we just got into a discussion about LGBT issues and what's right, what's wrong, and what we should affirm and not affirm in the schools. And so it was a very civil, friendly discussion. But obviously, I differed with him on point after point after point. And then he said to me, well, you know, the man you're talking to is gay. I said, yeah, I knew that the first second. That's why I'm talking to you. Of course. Well, let's have a conversation. I'm not out to chop your head off, and you're not out to chop my head off. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk. And I'm going to tell you why I differ with your goals. I'm going to tell you why it's wrong for the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, with all its hundreds of millions of dollars, why it's dead wrong for them to be actively pushing curriculum in elementary school to get your kid to question their own biological sex or, quote, gender. Yeah, it's dead wrong, and I'm going to oppose that. I'm going to speak out against it. So let me give you an example. hang on. What's this? SPL, Southern Poverty Law Center. Okay, they got my picture. Christian Response to Homosexuality, April 2017. That's interesting, because they haven't had anything up on me in a while. They still have an article from years back, SPLC, calling me one of the 30 leaders of the new radical right. On the one hand, I was blessed that they slandered me and maligned me. I thought that was nice. You know, I was along with, here we are, 30 new activists heading up the radical right. It was May of 2012. So I was listed along with folks like, yeah, so if you click on my page, there's nothing there. Nothing there. Matt, click on some of the other pages, see if they come up. But you click on my page, there's nothing there. But you've got other folks, other folks' names are still coming up. So they pulled my page, but they still have me listed in an article. So people still refer to me as on the SPLC list. On the one hand, I was honored to be slandered and maligned, and they accused me of being in the same ranks as, say, former Knights of Ku Klux Klan leader or Grand Wizard of the Knights of Ku Klux Klan, David Duke, and Malik Zuda Shabazz, who was a former leader of the New Black Panthers and other neo-Nazis and white supremacists. So they put me in there because I was allegedly homophobic. Then it was just LGBT phobic, whatever it is. Then they pulled my page. On the one hand, I was honored to be slandered and maligned. On the other hand, I called them to task and I reached out to them to dialogue and they did not respond. Surprise, surprise. They're dead wrong when they're doing what they're doing in the schools. And they're influential still, less influential than they used to be, thankfully, but still influential. Well, I asked the question a few weeks ago after an 11-year-old drag queen danced before admiring patrons at a gay bar. I said, where's the LGBT outrage? Where's the indignation? Where's the outcry? I went to major gay sites, and I didn't see any report on it. I saw conservative websites reporting it, but I didn't see the gay website saying, this is wrong, this is dead wrong under any circumstances. And it had been an 11-year-old girl in a heterosexual bar with a bunch of guys there dancing, and they're throwing money at her, I'd be just as outraged, okay? Now, it's not just the boy dancing, but he's dressing as a drag queen. So when there was criticism, his mother said it's blatant homophobia. He's a professional. Listen to me. A 10, 11-year-old kid does not have the ability to think all these issues through, to understand what it means to be a drag queen. Come on, he doesn't even understand his own sexuality yet. He doesn't even understand. He hasn't even come into puberty yet. And yet, with his mother's approval, he is dancing as a drag queen and performing as a drag queen. And anyone who has an issue with it, it's blatant homophobia. Well, where was the outcry from the LGBT community? It wasn't. See, this is beginning to destroy itself, expose its own extremism. And then, when parents speak up because they don't want drag queens reading stories to their toddlers, one of the drag queen's kids, yes, drag queen said this, yeah, we're grooming your kids that we want to, yeah, we're grooming them. We want them to be more accepting of these things. Parents protested this. ACLU, with all of its hundreds of billions of dollars, said, we're going to court over this. We're going to court. How dare you try to stop this? Oh, yeah. It's getting crazy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, let me just say this, friends. I am as aware as anybody in terms of how messed up things are in America. In other words, this is part of what I do. Every day I get an email sent to me by a major conservative news organization with 8 or 9 key news issues and takes and background and links and things like that. And a lot of it is bad news. Then my team is by the hour, sometimes all day, sometimes all night, sending me the latest news of what's wrong here, what's wrong, something crazy here, something crazy there. Plus, I get burdened by the Lord to write about certain things and address them so that I get online or I get books and I do my own research. Plus, because we've become known for these moral and cultural issues, I have people contacting me constantly. Strangers on Facebook, have you seen this? Have you read this? People reaching out, this is going on in my family. So I'm aware of the problems. I'm also aware that God remains God. I'm also aware that Jesus is Lord. I'm also aware that truth will ultimately triumph. I'm also aware that in the end, when everything is done and Jesus returns, that God's ways will be established on the earth. And I also know that God is moving around the world and in pockets and in different places, moving powerfully in America. And my answer to the question, is it too late for America, is actually an encouraging answer, but it's a sober answer. And then it's an answer that throws things back on you and on me. So by all means, watch the video. You'll be encouraged as you do. And by the end of the broadcast, I want to give you words of encouragement. But I've got to warn, I've got to sound the alarm. I've got to give the wake-up call. So check this out, all right? Check this out. Parents protest against drag queens reading stories to toddlers in public libraries. Now you say, well, why are these drag queens doing this? Well, obviously they want the little kids to become more familiar with drag queens and think it's perfectly fine for a man to not just be homosexual, but to dress as a flamingly out there woman. And it's perfectly fine. They should be sensitized to that. It's not because drag queens as a group have an incredible desire to help kids develop a love for books. That's not the motivating factor. Please, let's not be that naive. So the parents say, we don't want this. And it's in Louisiana, which is a pretty conservative state. So the ACLU says, you are restricting the liberty of these drag queens. How dare you? And in the words of ACLU of Louisiana staff attorney Bruce Hamilton, I'm not making this up. It's in my latest article, The Self-Destruction of LGBT Activism. You can read it at AskDrBrown.org. Are you ready? And you can read it elsewhere where it's posted. These extremists, talking about the parents, talking about you. If you're parents of toddlers and you don't like the idea of drag queens reading stories to them, this is you. These extremists are attempting to usurp the public library for their intolerant agenda. Did he even say this or write this with a straight face? Yeah, those evil, extremist, intolerant parents. How dare they stop drag queens from reading to their toddlers? Take them to court. So things have gone even further now. 10-year-old boy, drag queen, celebrated for that. That's crazy enough already, okay? He's photographed with a naked adult drag queen for a magazine spread. And the man in question, supposed naked, had just won a RuPaul drag queen contest. Okay. It's insane enough. It's sick enough. It's unpleasant enough to even have to talk about this. It's crazy that we live in a world in which this happened. But I'm not hearing the widespread condemnation from the gay and lesbian community. I'm sure some are upset, some are outraged, of course. But where's the widespread condemnation? Where's the widespread outrage? I'm not hearing it. I'm looking for it. I'm going to key sites looking for it, typing in names. I'm not finding it. Why? Well, because it's LGBT. Because it's a kid that's a drag queen. Because it's an adult drag queen. Because you can't condemn it. Because if it's LGBT, it's good. It's fine. However far it goes. Friends, this is going to implode. There is only so far this can go before people say enough is enough. Now, the problem is so many have been duped. It's all, look, you have to recognize spiritual forces at work. You have to. You have to realize a level of deception. When you see people believing certain things now and celebrating certain things, look, I have a whole, okay. Gay Star News, yes, send me that. Let's look at that link. Drag racer winner slammed for posing naked next to 10-year-old child. Photographer issued statement after admitting several people found the image distasteful. All right, so they're discussing it. And, okay, at least a little word is getting out. But who's to blame? The conservatives. And I can almost guarantee you, if we hadn't raised our voices, nobody would be saying anything on the other side. This is going to implode. It has to. But it's almost like so many people, you know, one, sorry to jump back and forth here. One right-wing news site called the image troubling and over-sexualized. Okay. I'm going to do my best to be composed here. Yeah, and there's some profanity there. We may want to pull that as I'm just looking at that page. There's the argument from the pro-LGBT side that this picture's not hurting anyone. A boy dressed in drag posing next to a naked man, drag queen. If it had been a girl and a man, a boy and a woman, and the adult was naked, I don't care if it's heterosexual, homosexual, I don't care if it's drag queen, king, what not. It is obscene. It is horrific. It is perverse. And it needs to be punished by law. This is what you call child pornography in a different way. One right-wing news site called the image troubling and over-sexualized. It is not just troubling. It is not just over-sexualized. It is sick. I'm on record. Go ahead. YouTube censors. I'm on record. Gay websites. I'm on record. That picture is sick. That picture is perverse. And anyone that celebrates it is perverse. I am on record saying that. And it is perverse that there is not an instant widespread condemnation from LGBT activists across North America saying, absolutely wrong, should never have happened. That is abuse. And in this case, we side with the conservative Christians. You say, all right, so here's the statement from the photographer. I'm not after sympathy, further controversy, or applause. I just wish people were a bit more understanding of each other's differences and the duty of the journalist to explore what are for some people uncomfortable subjects. That, sir, is sick. Sick. You don't do this to a child. I don't care if the child's willing and the parents are willing. You don't do this. And it should be punished by law. You say, well, there's an epidemic of worse stuff than this and kiddie porn. Yeah, and everybody agrees it's wrong. And everybody repudiates it. And when people are arrested, we say good for them. And we hope they'll find repentance and forgiveness and healing and wholeness. He said this, I received a lot of threatening messages last night, some serious abuse, probably from someone called Hank and I, which doesn't bother me too much, but makes you aware of the potential dangers that come with this kind of work. Okay, it's wrong if anybody threatened him. It's wrong if someone says they're going to hurt him. But the potential dangers that come with this kind of work, the danger should be you go to jail for taking a picture of a boy dressed as a drag queen next to a naked man. That should be the danger. He says it was a balanced piece about the subject, which ironically probed the issue of sexualizing children. Yeah, the other pictures were also disturbing. They just were not as blatantly wrong and should be blatantly illegal as this. Okay. Friends, I'm not going to talk about this every day. I'm not going to talk about this most days. I'm not going to write about this most days. But every so often, I have to sound the alarm again. And to those that are sitting on the sidelines, waiting until things get really bad. Waiting until it's the children being affected. Well, you could have jumped in 15 years ago and it wouldn't have been too early at all. Could have jumped in 20 years ago, even before I did, and it wouldn't have been too early. But if you're still sitting on the sidelines, I can only ask you, what are you waiting for? Before you get involved with the schools, before you get involved with these issues, before you stand up and speak up, pastors, leaders, what in the world are you waiting for? I believe we're going to see God's spirit push back against this. But it's time to wake up and stand